Well, praise the Lord, right? This is our Christmas service because we generally don't ever make it unless Christmas falls on Sunday, so I wanted to read some Christmas scripture this morning. And I don't know about you, but I know with the ACC championship over now, I'm waiting on college playoffs, right? So that means that the next couple of weeks, maybe I'll get lucky enough to watch some Hallmark movies. You know what I'm saying? Some Hallmark, y'all like that? You ever notice in those movies, what happens? They're usually talking about Christmas, and I saw a meme the other day talking about, be careful, guys, if your wife or girlfriend ever decides to go back and help decorate in her hometown, her boyfriend that works part-time at the antique store, her old boyfriend, is going to sweep her off her feet, you know, so... those are some things that I always make fun of it. My wife gets tired of it. I'll sit there in the chair and just start making comments, and she gets sick of it. And that's okay because I'm sick of it too, right? I'm just kidding. But what I've noticed about those movies is generally, it seems like somebody's usually living in a castle in some of those movies. Am I the only one that notices that? And in those movies, and the person that's living in the castle is the person who, is obviously the prince or the king, and then the servant girl or boy, whoever it is, and that person usually ends up in the castle somehow working with the family, and then somehow the servant earns the right to be a part of that family in that castle. Isn't that what we always like to see? And it's so predictable. I always have it pegged out. Oh, there's the competition. Here's the person. But that's usually the way it goes. I don't think that what we should probably notice, though, about our God, though, this morning, have you noticed something different about him? The king, instead of us having to get cleaned up to get into the castle, the king's coming down to spend time with us and actually become like a servant with us. That is a flip, isn't it? I think that concept right there is probably what I love the most about Jesus Christ. If you're like me, sometimes I find myself to be a little bit hard-headed, and I don't listen to just anybody. I tell you that. I'm not bragging that. That's probably something I need to work on a little bit. But I don't listen to just anyone. I generally only listen to somebody that understands the perspective I have found myself in over the years. Does that make sense? And so I remember when I was really away from the Lord was actually starting to work on me to want me to have a relationship with him. And I remember my wife said, she was going to a Wesleyan church in Mecca. She said, why don't you come to church? We have a new pastor. I'm just so bad, I'm telling you. I was like, so what? I don't care. And she said, he's from Evansville. And I remember thinking, I don't care what anybody from Evansville has to say to me. Have you ever been like that? And I thought, you know, to me, the Evansville is like a big city. So, we were just country folk up there. I'm like, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to listen to anything he says. What was unique, though, was that he came, and I remember thinking, you know, he's living in a house that's very similar to the one that I have. He's not somebody who was going to live lavishly, but he was living in a house very similar to what we had. In fact, he was willing to learn how to hunt and fish and all those types of things that we did. And so I started to buy into him a little bit. It was funny because I saw him at the fair one time and Debbie introduced me and I just said, hi, and moved on. I was just that way. And so, but we ended up becoming pretty good friends. And so one of the reasons I listened to him was because he was relating to me in ways that nobody else had. He was relating to me. And what I was finding when I started reading scripture was that Jesus, God, he wanted to relate to me in ways nobody else had as well. And so, I work with students all day long where these students are so upset all the time. Some of their behavior will be activated because they are missing their mother or their father who doesn't want to see them. Or at least they perceive that is that they don't want to see them. Or maybe something has disconnected them from a healthy relationship in their life, and it's been something that overwhelmed them, and so they find themselves acting out in various ways, which I can relate to that. And so One of the things that we've been doing here at Hilltop, and you heard Roy mention it, was we talked about the movie Christmas Possibilities. In fact, I almost titled this message that. So one of the goals that we had is that we wanted to make sure that people who were like me and everyone else that has a misunderstanding about what God wants in their life, or maybe doesn't have a clear picture of who God is because they have found themselves in situations that were no fault of their own and thought that maybe God didn't love them, we wanted them to know that God does love them, right? You know, so we start thinking about Christmas. Why is it so important? It's because it's the moment where we can say for sure that God actually demonstrated his love, and he came out of that castle and he came to this world to live with us and to save us because he loves us. Now, there's no other God I've ever heard of doing something like that. No other God has ever done something like that. When I find that someone is willing to get into my world and suffer with me and get into the muck with me, I'm going to listen to them. But I want to show you something in Scripture this morning. I want to show you a couple, four things that happened when Jesus Christ came into our world. I titled this message, Jesus Came Into the World. And I want to show you how it all played out. And I want to show you from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And I'm just going to remind you that the Gospel of John was written so that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, John uses signs in his gospel so that people could be reminded, especially those who were familiar with God's word, who knew that the Messiah was going to come to Israel. He used the signs to remind them that this is why you can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so I want to show you some things that really speak to me, and I hope they speak to you. And I'm going to start reading verse 1, and we'll read to verse 14. And I love this passage. Just listen to it if you can. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that great scripture? I just don't know how you beat it, honestly. That is so good. But the first thing I want you to see this morning is this. When Christ came into the world did not come to know him. Now, this is interesting because I was in the world, right? I wasn't born into this world as a pastor or a Christian. I was in the world, and the world, this is what the Bible tells us, the world did not come to know him. So I understand what John is saying in this passage because he uses the term, he says, the world did not recognize him. And at first glance, I thought maybe that had something to do with, well, the world didn't know him. Of course they didn't know him. They didn't have the Word of God and all of this stuff that they needed to know him. But here's the thing. Really what's happening is it says the world did not recognize him. as in someone who would be recognized for their achievement, maybe. Someone who would be recognized for doing something special. So when I started to unlock this and look at this, I started to realize that what they're talking about, what John is talking about, is the world did not come to know him. This is huge. And so if you're in the world, one of the things that you realize, now if you are someone like me, it's not that you were denying that there is a God, okay? You weren't probably denying that there is a God. I mean, obviously, I understood there was a God who created everything. Because honestly, it just takes more faith and all this stuff that goes with it to believe that the world was just happened to just pop into being, right? So I always understood instinctively that there is a God. But here's where the problem is. Do you remember what I said? I didn't care if the pastor was coming to pastor us and he was from Evansville, right? I didn't care. If you didn't have to grow up poor like me or have to go out and work on the farm during the day when everybody else is having fun, I don't want to hear what you're saying, right? I didn't care. What I was doing when Debbie told me that the pastor was there at the church, in her mind, she's thinking that would get me to want to come. But what she didn't understand is that I was being indifferent to that. It wasn't that I was denying that he might be a good fit for the church. I just didn't care. And you know something? This is exactly what's going on in our world today. See, there's a world system that's in place here. And in this world system, the world doesn't care that Jesus Christ has come to this earth so that he could demonstrate his love for us. It's unbelievable. And this is why you hear me say things like, well, they just don't know. They don't have the best image of who God is, which then brings us to our Christmas Possibilities movie again, doesn't it? Because this is why we do this. Because we want the people to know that if you will put aside being indifferent to who Jesus is, if you will come to know him, you will find that he loves you and that you can have a better life through him. And the reason why you should listen to him is because he put aside all of the good things that were in his life to come to be among us, to live with us. Let's look at the next thing I want you to see this morning. It's this. When Christ came into the world, God's people did not acknowledge him. This is crazy. So I always knew that the Jews were God's chosen people. That's all you ever hear, right? And I got to be honest with you. I'm into equality, and I'm glad Dan said what he said this morning. I'm into equality. It matters to me. It matters. You better believe it matters, because again, if you find yourself in a difficult situation that is of no fault of your own, you got to know that that isn't what God wanted for you. Y'all understand that, right? Because if you believe God wanted that for you, you better believe that you're not going to want anything to do with God. And that's not true, right? It's not true. So I love the fact that Jesus understands that he loves all of the world. So I always heard that the people of Israel were God's chosen people. I felt left out. I'm just saying, that's just my perspective. If I'm the only one that thinks that way, then you can see why it's amazing God even saved me, right? So you can see it. But here's the thing. God chose Israel because they were going to be his instrument to take the word of God to the world. Did you know that? In fact, when they were in their nation, when they were in the nation of Israel, because of God's word and their love for him and love for their neighbors, that was supposed to be an attention getter to the world. Do you see this good life that these people are living? If you will come to know this God, then you too can actually have a good life like they are living, because you can be free from hatred towards each other if you love God and love your neighbors. This has always been his idea. But here's what blows my mind. John says the world did not, or the people of God did not receive him when he came into the world. And that tells us something. They didn't acknowledge him. In fact, that tells us something a little deeper than just simply not acknowledging him. It's as if they knew who he is. Are you with me? They knew who he is. And even though they knew who he is, they did not acknowledge him. In fact, we already know what they did, right? They rejected him. They outright rejected him. And I'm going to tell you something. You also have in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11, where Lazarus is in the tomb for 4 days, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and go out on a limb with you all. As ornery as I was, if I would have seen Jesus Christ raise somebody back to life after 4 days, I'm going to buy into the fact that he may be the Son of God. Everybody saw the signs, okay? But the religious people rejected him. Do you think that goes on today? You know what happens to Jesus very often? I remember D. James Kennedy saying this years ago. Jesus is always crucified between two thieves. I know this is Christmas, but understand this. Those who are legalistic and those who are too liberal, right? Those who are basically anything goes, and those who are just wanting to lock people down in rules and maintain control of people. But Jesus came to set us free from all of that because he loves us. So in my situation, I lived in a house where everybody was indifferent to Jesus. We didn't care, so what? Now, we didn't want to irritate him, though. Now, misunderstand me. We didn't want to irritate him because we knew that he had some type of power. But then we were judged by those who were rejecting Jesus because they just thought they were better than us. I'm just being honest with you. You think it's possible to miss the point of Christmas when this happens? You better believe it. But I got a couple of things I want to show you on a positive side before we stop. Look at this next thing. When Christ came into the world, Put that up there for me. I've scribbled on it. Jesus gave sonship to those who embraced him. Now, understand what I'm saying when I say sonship. This isn't male-female stuff. I'm talking about becoming a child of God. So when Christ came into the world, he gave to those who embraced him the opportunity to become children of God. So understand this. The Lord, the one who created everything, the one who said, "Let there be light," this very same God, because of his love for the world, decided to come into the world and do all of these signs, perform all of these signs, and demonstrate through his life his love for each one of us for the simple purpose of actually bringing us all into a relationship with God. And so you picked up on what John said. He said to all who believed and embraced him, right? I'm paraphrasing now, but all who bought into Jesus Christ, he said he gave them the right to become children of God. See, now we're getting back into that where my God loves everybody, this equity again. We're getting back into that. So that means that there were people who did see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they bought into it. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you spend all of your life feeling disconnected from everyone, when you spend that time and you feel like you're alone in the world, and it does happen. In fact, there might be somebody who's watching right now or sitting right here who feels very alone in their life. You may have people around you, and that is understandable, but yet you may feel very alone because you're not connecting in a meaningful way, because you feel... If anybody ever grew up a stepchild, now don't misunderstand me. I'm just telling it like it is this morning. But I was, and I never felt at home. Did you know that? I never felt at home with my mother and her new family. It's just the way it is. But this God that I serve, this God that we celebrate, came into this world. I wasn't expecting that. But he came into this world and he said, I want you to be my son. Man, as ornery as I was, right? It's unbelievable. What other God would do this? I'm telling you this morning, when we celebrate Christmas, this is part of the reminder that this God that we celebrate, his birth, although he was before this birth, this same God loves us all very much. And he wants to connect us to himself, to his Father. There's no other God that does that. Do you know how many days I walk through the halls at the school that I work with? And I just want so bad for the kids to know that they don't have to feel alone. They don't have to feel disconnected because there is someone who wants very much to have a relationship with them. They do. God does. And if they just could see it one time, they would buy into it. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. I go back to the movie again. Thank God. Thank God for what he's doing. I want to show you one more thing about this God we serve and why we celebrate Christmas. When Christ came into the world, Jesus made his home with us. I mean, it's just unfathomable. I think this is why people have a tough time believing that Jesus Christ is the God that we all need to serve. Everybody needs to put all other gods aside. You need to put away all of your thoughts of what money can do for you or some other God. This is why you want to serve Jesus Christ, because this God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my dwelling among these people. I'm going to put away all of this stuff that I can do, the ability to speak into the world and make things happen. I'm going to take on human flesh. I'm going to take on human flesh. We call this the incarnation. I'm going to take on human flesh, and I'm going to experience what my people, whom I love so much, I'm going to experience everything that they have to experience. In fact, I'm going to understand why they have such a hard time connecting to me. He dwelt among us. He pitched his tent. That's what it means. He literally said, I'm going to go right where they are, and I'm going to live with them. Do you think the church has this upside down these days? You have to wonder. Because such a good message, right? Such a good message. And we have a holiday that reminds us year after year of why Jesus came into this world. You have to wonder if we don't have this upside down. I'll give you an example. When we were at my old church in Mecca, I remember we were trying so hard to move out of the town, to get out on the highway, right? But the problem was the Lord kept shutting the door because we were right where he wanted us. We were right there where we were with the people that he loved so much that we were actually doing ministry with. And it wasn't about having a fancy building. It was about the fact that God wanted to work through us and demonstrate his love to those whom he came to dwell among. He was dwelling among them yet, even through the presence of his church. I think that sometimes we get this upside down again. You see, when I look out here at you all, I know one thing. If you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, if you have received him, he gave you the right to become a child of God. That means he's taking on human flesh again. Yours and mine. Together. The characteristic that we should have together is that we want to do life with those who feel disconnected from Jesus Christ. We want to do life with them. We want to take them that message that God loves them, and we are willing to demonstrate it just like Jesus did. You see, we are serving this God who says, I know all about what you're going through. He's not from Evansville, right? He's not from Greenville, someplace fancy, no offense. He's not from New York. He's not, you know what I'm saying. He is right here with us, and he knows exactly what we go through. You know, my kids are benefiting from this because we finally bought into this. They don't know the life that they could have had if we didn't understand the meaning of Christmas, if we didn't understand the love that God wanted to give us, if we didn't just stop and say, I'll no longer be indifferent and I'll no longer not receive him. I want to receive him. I want to have that relationship with Jesus. Because we did this, their lives were changed. What would happen if the church started thinking generational like that again? You ever think about that? It's huge. This morning, if you're someone who is indifferent to Jesus Christ, if you're indifferent to Jesus Christ and you feel like you've been living your life in such a great way that you don't need any of his help, I want to tell you something this morning. Just stop. Just read. Read it for yourself. Take a look at what he wants to do for you. If you would just understand that, you know, we're celebrating Christmas and it looks so wonderful here that he came to die for you and I. Did you know that? He did so because he loves us. If you would just think about that, and if you would understand that maybe if you were indifferent to Jesus, it could be that the Lord would turn your life around. He really would. He did mine. But I had to stop being indifferent to him. If you're someone that's been in church all of your life, okay, and it happens, and you may sing the songs, you may give money, and thank God for that, right? We'll take it. We're going to take it. I'm not going to lie to you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you are not really receiving him, if you are not receiving him in such a way where you are making him your Lord of your life and following him, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You're still missing it. I'm not even going to bring eternity into it. Just let me tell you from a real perspective, your life is not meeting the potential that God has for you by knowing him if you miss it. If you don't receive him, you're missing it. I promise you, I have ups and downs, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling you, I am so grateful to know Jesus Christ this morning. I'm telling you, I intentionally remind myself of this. If you're not serving him wholeheartedly, you need to surrender your life to him. If you're somebody that's become a child of God this morning, can I tell you something? You have understood that what Christmas is about was the idea that Jesus came into this world for the sole purpose of leaving that castle, the sole purpose. You didn't have to clean yourself up to come into his presence like you see in a lot of these movies or stories. He actually emptied himself of all of that and came down here to us so that you could be a child of God. What greater gift could you have ever had? And if you're a child of God, you've got something going for you this morning. You've always got hope. No matter what you see in your life, you've always got hope because you're God's child. Let me tell you this, church, as a church, if we could understand what this enfleshment of God means, if we could buy into this, I'm telling you right now, we could make an impact in Pickens County. We could, I promise you. If we could just be like Jesus together, to those who are feeling disconnected right now. We could make an impact in Pickens County. And you know what's crazy? No one would get credit for it but Jesus. Isn't that the goal? That's the goal. What would happen if the church bought into this again? What would happen if the church understood that it's not just a gift for the individual, but it's a gift for all of us? What would happen if the church stopped seeing itself as being blessed and as existing so that we can bless? What difference would that make in our world? Well, I think it would make a huge difference. I think you'd start to see people who understand why we celebrate Christmas. Because it's good news. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, this morning, if you need to make a commitment to the Lord, I encourage you to do so. If you've been disconnected from the Lord and you know it this morning, and you want to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, when I'm done praying, you simply come and tell me, Scott, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Not because you're scared of what eternity would look like without Him, but because you have understood that He loves you so very much and wants a real relationship with you. It should draw you to Him. Let's pray. Father, we come before You now. We're grateful. We are truly grateful, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for seeing us in our misery, Lord, and coming down to join us so that You could lift us out of it, Lord, if we would just follow You. It's hard to believe all of the illustrations that are coming into my mind right now about what You've done for us. But Lord, I pray that if there's somebody within the sound of my voice that's still struggling to understand what this all means, I pray, Father, that not only will You use this message or Your word, but Lord, if they need a visual, if they need something to tug at their heart, that they might even look at that Christmas movie, Christmas Possibilities, Lord. Not because we want to be so successful, but because we believe we can relate this to people, how great You are, Lord, and how imperative it is that they have a relationship with You. Now, Father, I pray that You would take care of us, that You would remind us on Christmas morning again how much You love us and how much we love You. Father, would You go with us now and bring us back again safely next Sunday? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.